And you can't say chapter or anything on Jude because Jude is only one chapter. It's a little bitty book, and it's usually missed by people. Just turn in your Bible. It's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then Jude. And in my Bible, it only takes up 2 pages. And yet, incredible insight. And what we want to give you today is and I titled it this, Keeping Your Heart in Christ with Everything. And I've been hitting real hard on stuff. But today, I want to go and just encourage you. This is an exhorting type message. Want to really encourage you. God wants you to be encouraged. Let me read this, and I'll give you some background. But Brother Jude comes in here, and he says, but you, dear friends, and I'll give you, this is what we're going to read, and I'll tell you a little bit about the background. Build yourselves up, and this is a how-to message, because he says, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. And then he goes on and says, be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Whoa. And it's like, if you don't read this, Jeff, and you miss this whole book, it's powerful stuff. It's like, you see, you have to read all of it. And that's why I really encourage staying in God's Word. And that's the first point on here is build. The first point, we're doing an exegetical message, going verse by verse, and some of the key words. He says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. And that's the first point. And then we're going to talk about how to do it. But let me give you a little background. He wrote this because, and we're seeing it right today, he said, remember, dear friends, remember what the apostles of the Lord told you before. And they said, and you can read this for yourself, and Jude's a little book, but read it all. And they said, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. Boy, is that true today? And then he says, these are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. So what's he talking about? He said these people appear religious, but they're not. And they cause division, not only in churches, but in communities, in a state, in a country. And he said there'll be scoffers. And so that's the background. And he's saying, so to keep yourselves from being messed up by these people, misinformed, misled, he gives us just a list of things. And here's the problem sometimes that we get into a lot of times in Scripture. We're told to do something. And I see this as a responsibility of every teacher and pastor of the Word of God. It's our responsibility. And it's like, why don't more of us do this? It's our responsibility to explain the how-tos. If we don't know how to do it, then how can we tell you anything? And so we want to get into this. And said, when he says, build yourself up in your most holy faith, that sounds good, doesn't it? And he says, pray in the Holy Spirit. But then you turn around and say, well, how do I build myself up in my faith? Has anybody ever asked that question? You asked that to yourself? Well, that's great. He says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Good, I want to do that. How? Well, let me give you some things. Number one, if you're going to build yourself up in your most holy faith, the first thing, and you say, oh, well, that's obvious. Yeah, it is, and it's the most obvious things that we miss most of the time. You have to, however what this means for you, however much you read, you have to stay in God's Word. If you stay out of God's Word, you're staying out of the faith. The less Word you have in your heart, the less faith you're going to have also. So to build yourself up in your most holy faith, you stay in God's Word. Now, I'm doing this more as a class this morning, and I hope that's all right. Sometimes I'm really out there slinging, and other times, but this is teaching material, and we'll see how it goes. But I want you to, God wants you to get this. And so he wants you to build yourself up in your holy faith. And how do you do it? I have to be in the Word. For some of you, that may mean a whole chapter a day. May mean a whole book, some of you. Others, you may not. You may be grabbing a few passages, but here's the thing. Always, always find a way, find the time, make it a part of your daily regimen, your discipline, to read the Word of God. If you can't carry a Bible with you, go buy you one of those little devotional things with all kinds of scriptures in it, but get those scriptures. And you know, I mean, we eat meals, and no, we eat three meals a day. Does anybody eat more than three meals a day? That's okay. But anyway, you know, okay, and snack in between. But how much of God's Word do we devour a day? And that's the true meal that we need. So he said, if you're going to build yourself up in the faith, you have to stay in the Word. And secondly, this is one that's missed by a lot of people. If I'm going to build up my faith, guess what I have to do? I have to stay in fellowship with Jesus. And that means I have to talk to him. And we'll get to that in the second point. But it also means I listen and I treat Jesus with respect in my life. You know, when many, many people, they come to church and they sing the songs and listen to the message and they say, that's good and everything. But then it doesn't seem to stay with them. It doesn't seem to sink in. Listen to me. If there's anything you need to get rid of in your life, get rid of it. If there's something that you're angry about, if you're upset over something, if there's somebody that you just can't turn loose of in your mind, if there's something that's happened to you, that is causing you not to be in full fellowship with Christ. Junk it. Toss it. Confess it. And you say, Tony, is it that easy? No. There's been many things I've had to struggle for a long time, but start the struggle and pray it out and bring it before God. You see, because you want that fellowship. Listen to this. Any unconfessed sin will break your fellowship with God. Any. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought my sins were forgiven. When I asked Jesus in my heart, are my sins not forgiven? Past, present, future. They are for relationship. Jesus cleanses you. Your name's written in the book of life. You ask Jesus in your heart. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. But we know we sin later, right? We all know we're sinners. We know all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The reason that I must, like 1 John says, if we confess our sins before God, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what is that talking about? That's talking about after I'm a Christian, I'm saved. I've asked Jesus in my heart. My name's written in his book. But what I'm doing when I don't confess my sins later, are they forgiven? Yes. But my sins cause me to have a broken fellowship with Christ. He knows I did it. He knows I said it. I know I did it. I know I said it. And guess what? My conscience won't let me be right there in his light because I've got something that I'm holding in my head. Everybody with me? I've done something, said something, and it's there, and I haven't come clean, and he knows all about it, but I'm not willing to tell him about it. So I'm carrying this sin secret. So if you've said something, done something, if you drive on the interstate very much, you know you've said something. If you go down where a lot of you come from and you drive in San Antonio, I know you've thought something. Is anybody able to drive through that town and not think something bad? No. And if you are, I want to talk to you. Tell me your secret. I got so mad at a guy this morning coming down here. It's always when I have to bring messages on something like this and I get tested. I was going 75, and that's the speed limit after you get from, towards Kerrville. From here, from Kerrville down, 75. I was going exactly 75. This guy didn't like it. He ran up behind me. And I hate it. Don't you hate it when you can't see their front bumper? Yes. You know, you're just thinking, oh God, don't let a deer run out. And then he cuts around me and he is making gestures that are inappropriate for church. Yes, I did. I did. And after, I even told him his destination that I wanted him to go to and realized that that was really not what God wanted for his life. Okay? So you have to repent of that stuff. But then, see, here's the ones that really make you mad, right? They run up behind you and then they shoot around you, right? But then they cut back over in front of you where you have to hit the brakes. And then their windshield, they're doing these gestures. And you, see, have the opportunity to ignore that, pray for them, or give them a map to the destination that you will for them. At the moment, I was willing to give a map to a predetermined destination that I had in store, especially when that hand came up in that back window. And I wanted to yell at him, say, do you realize I'm a pastor and I'm going to preach? And I wanted, didn't you want to lie and say, my little child is in here? And then it's like, Tony, how far are you going to go with this? And then this guy's gone out of sight and you're praying for a highway patrol. You ever do that? Where are they? Where are they? You know, you go 3 miles over and you get pulled over and get a ticket or warning, and then they're going 90 in a 75 zone, and where are they when you need them? And so anyway, all this stuff happens, and if we don't get clean, see, I had to ask God, and I'm sharing this not as just a story. After that, I had to realize there was a test, and you got upset with them, and you let those gestures really bother you, and I did. I hate that. It's cowardly to me. I hate it when somebody does that, cuts you off in front of you, you know, and then gives you those signs. Does that bug you? I mean, is anybody here able to, does it get on your nerves? I mean, just does something for a moment? And then you realize the thoughts I'm thinking are not appropriate. And I've got to go up here and talk about being in fellowship with Jesus, and I am not in fellowship with Jesus right now. You know? And so what has to happen? It's like you have to confess that. You have to say, God, you tested me. You allowed me to be tested. They didn't do anything to me. They just did something that irritated me and I didn't like. See, think about this. How many times do we hold anger at somebody or something and they really didn't do anything to you? They just violated your principles for yourself. And I've had issues with people and realize, and God will convict you of that and say, your issue with this person is, have they ever done anything to you, Tony? No. Did they say this to you? No. But you took issue with them because they were saying inappropriate things, things that violated your ethics, your belief system. Is that right? Yes. But it wasn't to you. No. Who was it to? And that's where God will get us. See, God is saying they're doing that to me, not to you. So why are you taking offense? I will deal with them. You don't let this in your life or it'll break your fellowship with me. And so I'm using that as an example. And that stuff like that we don't pay attention to that gets in the way of our fellowship with Jesus. And so stay confessed. Stay in fellowship by confessing everything, keeping your heart clean. And then thirdly, stay in fellowship with Jesus' people. This is important. Why? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then he said, love your neighbors yourself. And everybody in this room we're neighbors. We're all Christian brothers and sisters. And the thing that we must accept with each other, and it's so hard. Husbands and wives have this trouble. Newlyweds I talk with a lot. You know, and they don't really know each other until they're married for a little bit. You just don't know somebody till you marry them, right? I mean, you're really surprised, you know, that, oh, I didn't know you. Oh, you did. Oh. And that's where you really make or break then. You got to work with all that stuff. One of the things that you have to realize in life is flexibility. And I have to be flexible with people who act different than I do. They're Christians, but they just act different. Some people... And what is it with some people? They have an expression for everything they hear. You know, some people can't lie no matter what. You're one of those. You can't lie because your face reveals everything you're thinking. Anybody in here like that? And you just, you know, and what I do, you learn to have that face that doesn't show a lot because I can't show the shock at times of stuff I hear. And so it's just, you know, go on. But a lot of times somebody's expression, does anybody ever have an expression that you know, don't look around or anything, but and they'll get an expression on their face and you just detest that expression? Yeah. Does anybody in a family ever have that? And it's like, why do you always make that face when I talk to you like that? anybody ever go through that? And it's an unconscious thing, and we have these expressions. You ever ask yourself, why am I letting that irritate me like that? Just because their face is not like mine? And you ever around anybody and they dramatize everything? You know, you see a little bumper crumper. Oh my, and you're, you know, and you could be married to someone like that. And that's just the way they are in life. And you pass it and they go, oh my God, did you see that? There's, oh, I wonder if anybody's killed. You're thinking, it was just a dent in a bumper. But everything is dramatic. And what I'm saying is, and as Christians, we have to learn to realize that not everybody is like me. And I accept them for what they are. But sometimes we need a little drama. You know, you say, how do you use a person like that in ministry? Hey, if I want somebody to promote the church, I want them. They'll sell it. Hey, you know, I can turn that little bumper crumper thing that, you know, they make a big drama. Well, I want to make a big drama out of the church. You know, I really do. You know, put these people out witnessing for us. You know, when somebody says, what's so good about your church? Oh, you just love it. People, oh, they just come by the tons, crowds of people. It's like, yeah, go on. Good. Get some good drama lines in there. You know, bring them on. Anyway, you with me? And the way some people smile or don't smile, I get really upset when I'm trying to tell somebody something and they don't say anything. Does that annoy you? And sometimes, oh, got one like that there? You spill your heart before them and they... And you're going, well, say something. Hit me. Get the fly swatter, chase me around the room, do something. And one of my comebacks is when I'm sharing something, and then there's just that. It's like, I have said this before, more than once. Could you just grunt once in a while so I know you're listening? Just go, something, anything. You know, just make a noise. There's nothing worse than pouring out your heart and there's dead silence. Because you're thinking, was this offensive? Should I not have said this? Do you care? Are you dead? Something. So the whole point here in being in fellowship with God's people is this. If you're in fellowship with Jesus, he'll give you, this all connects to each other. He'll give you the flexibility, the adaptability to accept other people for the way they are. They may be real stoic. They may be real dramatic. They may have expressions, they may have none. They may dramatize, they may be totally factual. Another thing, you've heard me say this before, I don't know if anybody, and maybe I'm alone in this, when I'm telling a story, I don't want to be interrupted. Okay? And so, if I'm telling a story, I don't want to be stopped. Say, who was there? How many were there? What did you say? What color was it? It's like, many times in my life, about the second time, because you know, you're really building this thing. And I like to add a lot of emphasis. And I say, man, I saw that thing, and it was a mountain lion, and it was running across there, and the snow was just flying up behind its paws as it was running. Its old tail was flopping, stuck out like, and it's like, what color was it? What time of day was it? Was that snow frozen? I mean, was it loose? Was it powder snow? And you're saying, shut up! I want to tell you, I want to listen to my story and all my drama and my exaggeration. It was a bobcat, but in my mind, it was a mountain lion. You know, and that fish was that big.
He was really a house cat.
Yeah. But you with me? Anybody like that? Now, are any of you the other way? Do you like all the details and ask the questions? Who got any question? You're like that? I'm not going to tell you a single story ever. Okay. So what the point is, we'll be much happier and we'll be in fellowship with Christ and fellowship with each other if we allow people to be people, God's people, and not our people. And that's the bottom line. Don't make somebody your people. Let them be God's miraculous people. His creation. And just accept them the way they are. I got to move on. But this is good. I like teaching on this, especially the people stuff. Because that's my interest in life, is God and people things. And how people get along with each other. Let me give you another one. If you're going to build your holy faith, stay in worship. The scripture, Hebrews, tells you, do not forsake assembling together and worshiping. Listen to me. From a scriptural perspective, I'm not talking medically, nothing else. I'm talking from a spiritual perspective. One of the biggest threats that's happened to us in a long time is this COVID thing and shutting down churches and causing people not to want to go to church. The devil's using that, friends. Now, don't hear me from a medical standpoint. I'm not speaking medically, scientifically. I'm speaking from the spiritual aspect that the devil has used that to cause people to get out of worship. And let me tell you something, and you know this. When you get out of the discipline of coming and worshiping, being in church on Sunday, it is hard to come back after you've been out for a while. And the enemy's using this to get people used to staying at home and they don't want to come to church. Not just this church. Churches everywhere. And the enemy found a way to terrify and scare people, and rightly so in many cases. That's not the issue. I'm just talking from the spiritual perspective. There's been a hard hit with God's people, and God specifically said, do not forsake assembling together. And that's a tough thing, because you get out of fellowship, you get out of the fellowship with your fellow believers, out of fellowship with the Lord, and you stop worshiping. And friends, when you stop worshiping, guess what you start doing? When I stop worshiping, I've done it in my life when I've been hurt and I was out of church for a while and out of the ministry. When you stop, I learned it the hard way. When you stop worshiping, you start focusing on yourself. And if you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping yourself. You're into all your feelings and all the self-pity and all that's happened in your life. And then you start focusing on what you want to do and your life and how this affects you and that doesn't affect you. Friends, listen to me. That's the danger in getting out of worship. And the enemy will turn your heart inward and you'll start focusing on self rather than God. And that's the trap. That's where the enemy... Why did devil get thrown out? The devil get thrown out of heaven in the first place? Because he focused on himself instead of God. He wanted to be worshipped rather than the Father. Is everybody with me? So there's some fun stuff here, but there's serious stuff. And then stay in humble confession. Confess to God. Don't even hesitate. If you feel the need to confess something, confess it. But when you do, remember, the minute you confess it, it's cleansed in the blood of Jesus. It's removed from you as far as the east is from the west, and you're in fellowship. And then stay in communion. See, what does that mean? You know, I haven't brought a message on this in a long time, but I'll just say these brief words, and one day we'll hit it more thoroughly. It's not how often we do the Lord's Supper that matters. A lot of people are used to, you know, we want it every month. Some churches do it every week, some every other month, some every 3 months. That's not the issue. That's all personal preference. The issue is when you take communion, be in communion. It's more than just eating a cracker and hearing the little exhortation there and explanation of it and drinking the juice. When we talk about stay in communion, we're talking about when you come and the Lord's Supper, you're saying to God, I recognize that it's because of you and you alone, Lord Jesus, that I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I'm cleansed. And as I take this, I'm giving my heart back to you. I'm rededicating myself. Every time I take that Lord's Supper, I don't want anything, Lord, in the way. This is not just an act that I go through, an ordinance. This is a personal meaning between me and God. And I am recognizing Him as Savior and Lord. And I'm submitting myself to His Lordship. That's the attitude we're to have when we take communion. It's a renewal. It's a time to say, get my heart squared away with you. And all this junk I'm upset about and worried about, I put it aside. This is your body given for me. Thank you. And this is the blood that's cleansed me and redeemed me. And I'm so ever grateful. And you and I are in fellowship and communion with that. I give myself to you as you gave yourself for me. That's how you build in your holy faith. Now let's move on. I got a few more. Probably won't get them all. It's okay. We'll come back and get them, finish them. Secondly, he said, pray in the Holy Spirit. Has anybody ever wondered how you pray in the Holy Spirit? You know, we pray, but he says, pray in the Holy Spirit. And we see that other references to praying in the Spirit. Do you ever ask, what the heck is that? What? How do I pray in the Spirit? Number one, to pray in the Spirit, now we're building on something. You're going to have to be staying in God's Word and fellowship with Jesus, with His people, and worshiping. But praying in the Spirit, number one, is it means that I'm praying according to the Spirit's will, the Word of God, and the Spirit's prompting in my heart. I'm praying according to the Spirit's will, God's Word, and the Holy Spirit's, let's put it this way, the Holy Spirit's inner prompting, the prompting in my heart. A lot of people pray and we just say words. I'm not on anybody. We've all done it. We say whatever words. But you know, the best and most effective prayers I've ever prayed are praying Scripture. When I pray the Word of God, when I listen to the prompting of the Spirit, you ever just driving along and suddenly you just know you have got to come against the enemy? Or you just need to pray? And sometimes, if you ever have that's an inner prompting of the Holy Spirit, and you just start praying, I don't even know why you're praying. You don't know what you're praying for, but He does. Just start praying. You may be driving, you may be walking, you may be sitting at home, maybe watching a movie, who knows? Reading a book. But suddenly, you're just hit with that. And friends, what God wants you to do is not wait, just stop. Say, everybody, just a minute. There's a prompting of the Holy Spirit right here, and I'm going to start praying. If anything comes to anybody's mind, just come right in. Because that's praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying according to God's Word. Praying in the Spirit's will as the Spirit leads. Friends, you can do this. And you're probably doing it, don't even know it. But every time that you're prompted, you just know. I need to just say a word here. It doesn't have to be a long, lengthy pastoral prayer. It can be, God, save those people. Just like this morning, what God wanted me to do, at least one of the things, was say, God, please don't let those people hurt themselves or someone else. That was what He wanted. I didn't get that till later. I did pray that before I got here. But I had to get through my stuff. And part of the Spirit's prompting is to help us get through our stuff so we can pray what God wants us to pray. He let that happen to say, Tony, I've got a guy here, you, coming to bring this message on this very thing, and your job is to pray that these people driving crazy on this road do not hurt themselves and that they do not hurt some other person. I let it happen in front of you, so you'd be the one responsible to pray for my protection. And it hits home, and all of a sudden you see, there's the prompting of the Spirit. There's the work of there's the praying in the Spirit. That's what He's talking about. See, we get so focused on ourselves and how it's happening pertaining to us, and we forget that God lets things happen around us, in front of us, to us, not to hurt us, but so that we will be the ones who'll be accountable to start praying or to take action or to do something in faith to fix the thing. Everybody with me? And so that's why we have to be in fellowship and build in our holy faith so that we can see these things from God's perspective. It's like, I didn't let them cut you off and do all run up on your bumper and come in front of you so you'd be mad. I did that so you would pray that they wouldn't do that to somebody else. Pray that a deer doesn't run out across that highway. Pray that somebody doesn't change lanes all of a sudden that they're not expecting and they have a God, this is your moment, son, to prevent tragedy. And they'll never know about it, but I know about it. And I'll remind you one day, you did this for me. Think of the thing. See, and start thinking that from God's perspective, praying in the Holy Spirit. By the way, You can't pray in the Holy Spirit if you get out of love. Okay, that's next. But If your heart's full of anger, if you're mad, if you're irritated, you're not going to be able to pray in the Spirit. You might pray in the flesh, but you're not going to pray in the Spirit. My flesh right now wants to pray for God to do a bunch of bad things to people. Does yours? No? Okay, I'm the only mean one here. Okay, so really, I don't mean you. I mean higher in government right now. My flesh wants to pray God stomp them to pieces. But what does the prompting of the Spirit say? We can pray for him to be bound and thrown out of office, but you know what else God wants us to pray? He wants to save every one of them. And I forget that God's salvation is a priority sometimes. Seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness is the most important thing. So I pray, God, please save them. If they won't listen, would you stomp them? Okay, and so, but anyway, you get the idea. And if you get out of love, if you allow something in your life, some unconfessed sin, some resentment, anything, then you'll grieve the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture tells you, do not grieve the Holy Spirit because you're sealed in him until the day of redemption. And then keeping in God's love. You want to keep in God's love? You know what? Jesus answered this, and here's what he said. John 15:10, just write this down. You say, I want to tell you one of the quickest, fastest, most reliable ways to stay in the love of Christ. He said, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. He explained that one himself. Here's what he's saying. He knows we're not perfect. If we were perfect, he wouldn't have had to die for us in the first place, right? He died and rose again for imperfect people. But he's saying, I want you to be a consistent keeper of my commandments. And when you violate them, I want you to confess them instantly and get right back in fellowship with me. And if you keep my commandments, you will stay in my love. So if anybody's asking, how do I keep the love of Christ in my heart? Keep his word. And when you blow it, tell him you blew it. You ever ashamed to tell God you blew it again? You ever ashamed to say, God, for the 199th time, I said it again? Have you ever told God you're not going to say that cuss word anymore? That's it, I'm done. How many have ever done something like that? Did it work? And he knew it wouldn't. Thank you for your honesty. But he knew it wouldn't work when you said it. But guess what? He knew that you were trying and you meant it. You understand what I'm saying? God's grace goes a lot deeper than we imagine. He knows when you mean it and you're trying. He knows we can't keep it. I've said many things. Here's one of the things to God. I have to watch. God, I'm not going to get mad at anybody else out there. I'm not going to get mad at people on the... I've said that. No more. I'm not going to get mad anymore. I'm going to tell you, when you say that, you're going to be tested before you get a mile down the road. You ever notice that? Just tell him you're not going to do something and see how far you get before you test it. That's not the point. The point is that I'm attempting, I'm trying. It's in my heart that I want to do good. So keep his commandments. Allow anger and resentment and all the unforgiveness and unconfessed sin. Just allow it to be just brought out by the Holy Spirit, and whatever it is, get it out before God, and then allow can I say this? I don't know how to say this any other way. Why don't you stop resisting the Lord and just let God love you? Why don't you quit trying so hard to earn God's favor and accept his favor by grace? You can't earn it. God says, I'll show mercy to whom I choose to show mercy. Why don't you just accept it and thank him for it? And quit trying to buy your way into the Lord's favor. He offers it to you. He gave you his favor by convicting you of your sins and bringing you to Christ and causing you to be born again into his kingdom. He's already extended his favor. Thank him for it. Walk in it. Be warmed in it. Let God love you. And if you let God love you, you won't have as much trouble letting other people love you. are loving them back. As far as I need to go. Let me finish this next week. We've got some more to go here, and I wanted to get in next week to God who's able to keep you from falling. But today, let's just focus on keeping your heart in Christ and building your holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit and keeping in God's love. And then we'll talk about showing mercy and helping others at another time. But right now, let's just focus. If you'll bow your head with me, I'd like to just kind of just hit a point or two and let you think about it. Are you staying in God's Word? Are you really reaching out to be really in fellowship with Jesus and with Jesus' people? And is worship a priority to you? Are you staying in humble confession and in communion and giving yourself to the Lord? And praying in the Holy Spirit, do you hear the prompting? Hear God saying, you know, there's that nudging of the Spirit. He never screams. He's a small, still voice saying, read the Word. Read this passage. Pray this passage. You ever have somebody's name come in your mind and God is saying, I just want you to just call this person's name out before me. You don't have a clue what to say, but I want their name called out. Would you do that? And just call their name out. Just speak it. You see, that sounds silly, but not to God. Or a particular situation or whatever it is. Just name it and put it before the Lord. You ever claim the authority of Jesus' name? Well, this wasn't in the notes, but do you claim Jesus' authority over this planet? Over people, politicians, your fellow church members. You say, I just claim the name and authority of Jesus over pastor today. I hope you do that. Pray that you do that every day of the week. Claim the authority of Jesus over me and over each other, whoever you're sitting with today, looking across the room. Just claim the authority of Jesus over them. And do you say, Lord, help me keep your commandments? And if I'm not keeping them, if there's something in my life that's displeasing to you, Lord, would you search my heart and show me what that is, and I'll confess it. I'll repent of it. I'll give it to you. Cleanse me, Lord. Though my sins were scarlet, now they're white as snow. Lord, lead me today to keep your commandments, so I'll remain in your love, so I can accept people like they are, and so, Lord, I can be contagious, not with a disease, but contagious with the Holy Spirit, contagious with the love of God, contagious with the Spirit's filling and overflowing for me as rivers of living water. Lord, Lord, it's all about you, not me. To God be the glory. Lord, help me this week. Help us all this week to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and every need we have will be met. You promised that. God's will be done, the enemy cast down, cast out. And Lord, mold us and make us into who you put us here to be. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.